97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Tuesday, September the 22nd. And this is the Sleep On It. Let's come in with a more intellectual approach, less emotion after the loss. And the problem with the Tuesday, let's look at it from the analytical side of things, sans emotion, is you still come away with, that's a horrible loss. It doesn't feel much better. There's not much more clarity. And we, you know, I try to see clarity on Tuesdays. And I don't have much more clarity off of this loss. It was a terrible loss. They're now 0-2. And, you know, back behind the eight ball yet again. 3 years in a row, you're now back behind the eight ball. So where do we go? I want to start with a theory. All right. Now, I need your advice here. I need your input, I should say, better than that. I need your input with this theory that Mikey Miss has. So I was listening to Mikey yesterday, and Mike believes that there is some sort of unified effort against the quarterback, as though this is, you know, Florentine politics, and they are all gathering to stab the quarterback. Now, you know, and Mike made a compelling case for it. Now, we all listened to Doug's news conferences, and yesterday again, the word regression was used by Zach Berman in a question to Doug. Doug actually clarified the word regression. And quite frankly, to Mike's point, he never goes out of his way to have the quarterbacks back in a discussion with the media. I mean, very rarely do you hear him staunchly have the quarterbacks back. So right away, your eyebrows are raised when it comes to that. However, I can't fathom that there is some sort of witch hunt for Wentz. And it's Doug and Howie, and Mike brought up the Doug being, you know, gleeful when they drafted Jalen Hurts. Now, I got to be honest with you. That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense whatsoever. So, you supposedly have a franchise quarterback. And yeah, you know, like he was a bit inaccurate. And he made a horrible throw to probably that squelched the comeback attempt. And, you know, basically extinguished any hope they had of coming back in that game with that interception in the end zone on first down. Horrible throw. That said, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he still makes throws. Like, the throw is, I always bring up those throws to DeSean Jackson on the out from the other hash. I mean, he's a legitimate talent. Now, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously not a top five quarterback in the league right now. I mean, you know, he's not a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. So, you know, is that enough for you to make a concerted effort, like you're, you know, you want to poison the king, the prince? Like, that makes no sense to me. Why? So Jalen Hurts is your quarterback? First of all, who knows if Jalen Hurts can even play? People have this notion that Jalen Hurts is the Lamar Jackson. He's not. If you watched him in college, that's not the style of play he has. Now, I have my doubts. I think he was overdrafted by the Eagles. I like the kid. He's a rootable kid. But this whole idea that you got this shiny new toy, and so let's poison the current quarterback who you just paid, makes no sense whatsoever to me. I don't know what or if there is a rift between Peterson and Wentz and where Howie Roseman is in the mix here. But I find it hard to believe that they want to stab the quarterback or push the quarterback out. I don't understand that. So I need your input here into what you think it is. And that was Mike's theory. I don't see it. I don't see it. And we'll get into all kinds of stuff involving the quarterback, how we view the quarterback or any star player with our expectations. So we'll get into all that today. But I want to start with the theory that there is something nefarious going on at the NovaCare Complex, because I don't believe in it. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I don't know why Doug never appears to pick up for the quarterback in any kind of news conference or discussion. I don't know. I don't know why Howie Roseman, other than, you know, it was security in case Wentz gets hurt, or I don't know. You want to be smarter than everybody and try to get the quarterback. You know, listen, maybe that's it. Just try to stockpile quarterbacks, because quarterbacks are so valuable and Wentz does have a tendency to get hurt. So, you know, I take it more like an innocent thing. But I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to you guys and see what you follow, what the breadcrumb trail that you follow, where does it take you? Phillies lose last night. They are clinging, and I mean clinging, to the last playoff spot, the eighth spot in the National League, and they're clinging to it. And there are four teams fighting for two spots. The good thing for the Phillies is that two of the teams are playing each other now, and two of the teams will play each other over the weekend. So that should help. But it only helps if you win. And they got a doubleheader today. And it's going to be interesting to see if there's somehow, some way, they sneak into the playoffs. And quite frankly, I go back and forth, wishy-washy, with should they make the playoffs, not make the playoffs, or the whole thing. Just when I'm convinced not to make the playoffs, they win three in a row. Then when I think, all right, we'll make the playoffs, they lose two in a row. So that's the state of the baseball team. Good morning, Junis.
Hello. Is it a good morning? I watched Mickey Moniak throw a good baseball into the opposing team's dugout, or his dugout.
Yeah.
That was great yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm glad they used him with the first overall pick.
Yeah.
This Carson Wentz thing is interesting, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it because you don't draft a project to be the replacement of your franchise quarterback that you gave over $100 million. If you were going to do that, if that was a part of your plan, it would be a guy that you think will be a legit quarterback down the road. Right, you wouldn't do it to a project.
I agree. I don't.
He wasn't ready week one for a reason. He was only on the roster for week two for a reason. For two, you know, bogus plays. One of them they actually got 10 yards on when he was the second fake. Right? He wasn't even the first fake. He was the second fake. I don't buy it. I mean, there is something weird going on, I think. Like, I do think there is something weird between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. I talked about it ever since that Seahawks playoff game where Carson Wentz gets...
Well, I did it before that.
Yeah, but that was the big one to me when he goes, I have to see the tape of the clown he hit.
I know.
To me, I go, dude, you guys just got eliminated from the playoffs. No, you might as well just go out.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever how he talks about the quarterback.
None.
He never talks about Wentz like you would talk about. Like, I've heard other coaches talk about their quarterbacks. I watch Andy. Now, Mahomes is Mahomes, right? But I listen to Andy talk about Mahomes. And, you know, there's a gush.
Yes.
That comes over him. He never gushes over Wentz. Never.
Now, it'd be hard not to gush over Mahomes.
Okay.
Being the best quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, I've seen coaches, they rush, they leap to the back of their...
To their quarterback, yeah.
Yeah. Even guys that are pikers. Like, I heard Doug, perfect example. Doug went overboard over who? Think about that press conference. Think about how he went overboard gushing over the performance of a quarterback in that game against Seattle.
Oh, Josh McCown.
Correct.
He played with all that heart.
Warrior heart. I mean, he went on and on and on about a dude, and he sucked. All right,
whatever. He wasn't good.
All right, forget about the fact that Josh McCown, you know, he got hurt, tore the hammy and the whole thing, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But he was horrible.
And yeah, they ran like three plays.
Like, there was no, you know, it's not his fault. He was never good. And now he's old and never good. But, you know, he gutted it out or whatever. But Doug wanted to give him a purple heart after that game. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes. And then when Wentz gets cheap-shotted by Jadeveon Clowney, he was, oh, I got to see the tape.
So, you know, I think there are clues that lead us somewhere. I don't know where it is. I just don't think it's an orchestrated effort against Wentz. Like, there's some witch hunt, and they're trying to run him out and replace him. And I just don't. That makes no sense to me. Zero sense to me.
No, it makes no sense to me either. But I'm fascinated. I put up a poll already, and I'm fascinated by the results. And it's about Carson Wentz and his future with the Eagles. Would you like to hear it?
I would.
On at 975 Middays, all of a sudden, people are talking about Wentz not being a part of the future plans of the Eagles, whether it's a bad relationship, injury concerns, or Hurts being the future, people are talking about it. Will Carson be on the Eagles after his contract ends in 2024? Will they extend him? Your options. Yes, he's the franchise quarterback. No, 2024 will be the final season. No, they will opt out after 2022 because they have that opt out in his contract. Right now, the leading vote getter is that they will opt out after the 2022 season at 39% of the vote. 38% say yes, he's the franchise quarterback. It just jumped up to 40% for they opt out. And no, 2024 will be the final season, 22% of the vote. So right now, it's early, but we got over 300 votes already. And the majority of the people are saying that they will opt out of Carson Wentz's contract following the 2022 season. I don't buy it. But I'm fascinated that Eagles fans feel this way.
Well, it's out there, and it's why I heard Mike talk about it for all afternoon yesterday, and I kept thinking about it going, that doesn't make sense. That makes zero sense. It's illogical to do that. But people believe it.
Yes.
Right away on the text board, Danny says, I really think they want to move Wentz and Ertz together. Dump both their salaries and don't have to worry about keeping Wentz happy by losing his best weapon. But there's all kinds of conspiracy.
We're just 2 weeks in.
Now, I don't believe that. Now, call me a rube, call me naive, but I don't believe that they're trying to dump Wentz and Ertz. I mean, what purpose does that serve? What purpose? First of all, Jalen Hurts has got a ways to go before he's ready to play.
Yes.
And that's an if. He's not a lock. It's not a when. It's a strong if. And you really are in a hurry to get back to rolling dice over your quarterback? Granted, you know, he was disappointing the first 2 weeks. But I don't know. I don't want to go back in the netherworld of no quarterback?
No. I can't believe we're talking opt-outs after two games. Man, I'm stunned, quite frankly. I get it. You know, as fans, we react. We overreact sometimes. But, man, we're talking about the franchise quarterback. We're opting out already?
Well, that's their not what they choose. That's what they believe the Eagles will do.
Yes.
So it's not their decision.
No.
I don't know.
This is what they think the Eagles will do.
Well, who knows in 3 years, right?
Yeah. But who knows in 1 week? What if Carson chucks four touchdowns next week?
Okay, but you can't opt out after 2020, so.
No, you cannot.
What does it matter? What happens in 3 years? Who knows what happens in 3 years? Right?
Right.
3 years is a long time. It's three seasons.
Well, all I know is the confidence level is plummeting for Carson Wentz from the Eagles fan base.
Well, yeah, but the more important thing, because you understand about confidence and fragility and, you know, we are very reactionary and two bad games and a sort of hopeless season. Now, again, this is how this is our mood right now. All that could change, but, you know, I'll ask you, and I asked this question yesterday, too. Who's out there? Like, are you in a hurry to? Why are we in a hurry to get rid of the quarterback? I just don't understand it. And if you had, you know, if you had to, like, now we're talking about what, you know, this choice, this Sophie's choice. It's, you know, Doug and Jalen Hurts versus Wentz and unknown coach?
That's what it's becoming. It's no longer a, like, I texted you this Sunday night. I said, it's not a Wentz and Peterson both had a bad game conversation. All of a sudden, people are picking sides. And it's Doug versus Wentz. And I think a lot more people will say Doug.
Why?
Because of the Super Bowl. But no, I don't know why. Why can't we just say that they both had a bad game, as did Jim Schwartz, as did Howie Roseman?
Oh, by the way, you know, again, you know, Jim Schwartz had a wretched day.
Yeah, it was awful.
Just a bad day. I mean, look, I said it before. Wentz did not play well. All right? I'm not trying to tell you he did. And he throws the ball, the interception that extinguishes any hope for a comeback, right? They have momentum, and he throws, and he gets picked off first down in the end zone. But can I ask you a question? He threw the ball 43 times. So he had 17 incompletions, one bad interception, and then one garbage interception, right? Garbage time. So now you're talking 15 incompletions. Because he was 26 for 43. How many throws did he really miss? I don't know, five? Was it his five? What do you say, Andrew? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But then again, it's the spot, too, in some of them. Right, like the fourth down throw to Dallas Goedert. Not the one that was high and behind him, but it was just, he completely missed them. But then again, I didn't like the play call, so I'll say that.
So, but again, what are we talking about? A half dozen plays, throws, you know, missing an open receiver, half dozen of them?
Yes.
When you throw the ball 43 times?
Yes.
Do we expect the quarterback to be perfect?
No, but I think you also have to consider the spot. Like that interception, which was one of those bad throws.
Again, I already said
right.
That cost him the game, extinguished it. So it was, I'm talking about overall. It's not to say he played well, because we know he didn't, right? We know that throw killed them. But when you throw the ball 43 times and you might have six errant throws or misses of a open receiver, does that mean he's a bum?
No, he's not a bum.
Are we expecting perfection? But here's what I'm expecting. Don't make that throw on first down.
Right.
But other than that, are we unrealistic in our expectation of his game.
I think we are sometimes. I think.
And by the way, with the fact that there's what, one credible receiver other than the tight ends?
I think people expect 13 out of 13 like Jared Goff. And you shouldn't expect that out of any quarterback, really. But I think that people saw Jared, oh, how come this guy's going 13 for 13?
Schwartz, he would be 13.
Maybe. It's a good point.
Right. We'll kick all this around. High drama. Wow, it's like its own Netflix series. It's Cuz Radio with Shunis. We're just getting started on this Tuesday. Let's talk a little LeBruciano.
Anthony!
My man, Anthony. So, here's the thing. I had a friend of mine. There was a storm. It was about a month ago. One of those bad storms. And he's freaking out. Oh, my God. My water's coming in. Who's your roofer? That, you know, he was in panic. I don't blame him. Water gushing in the house. No good. Called Anthony. Gave him the number. Call Anthony. LeBruciano roofing. Call him. He calls him. There was, he didn't need a whole new roof. He just needed a repair. Repaired it. Everything was fine. Same thing. I had somebody else who needed a whole new roof. Oh, my God, this is awful. And I said, listen, go to Anthony. He's going to fix it right. All right? Rest assured, you're dealing with the best of Pennsylvania, LeBruciano Roofing. And look, when you meet Anthony, you're going to see why. He's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. He's a great dude. And LeBruciano Roofing is a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, which means he can offer the best warranty in the business. That's 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years on workmanship. Your home's roof is too important to trust for some jack-of-all-trades guy. Go with the only roofing expert I recommend, LeBruciano Roofing. Call him, 610-265-ROOF, or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros.com. LeBruciano Roofing, the master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:30 playback time. Every Tuesday we do the playback. This is going to be a tough one, but you guys can handle it. We need you to focus on it, to come up with some wisdom for me. All right, let's begin. Oh, the Cougs. Kevin Kugler. Yeesh. On the call for Fox with Chris Spielman. Here we go. Something has been looked over because Doug Peterson's play calling and Carson Wentz's play. Terrible way to start the game. And here is Miles Sanders fumbling on the third play from scrimmage.
On first down at the 35, Sanders again. And Sanders coughs up the football. And the Rams have it.
Yeah, not good. Now Rams offense, and then we hear what Jim Schwartz was talking about. Right? We start with a first down, Goff to Kupp.
Now Goff on first down, finds Kupp over the middle. A lot of room to roam for Kupp as he's upended at the 26-yard line by Marcus Epps.
Check with the bootleg looking as they're going hurry up, and you hit the tight end just sitting right down inside.
So it's third down, and Eagles trying to make a stop to just get out with just a field goal. Nah.
Off on third down to the sideline. Catch is made by Van Jefferson. And the rookie from Florida has a first down near the 43-yard line.
Woods, Kupp, Van Jefferson. Or Jackson, Rager, Whiteside.
Whiteside alone, you lose.
On the fifth play of that drive, the Rams are on the goal line. And here's Tyler Higbee.
Second and goal, play action, Goff to the air, Goff to the end zone for Tyler Higbee, and a Rams touchdown.
So we had blown coverages last week by the Eagles down in the red zone. Ilan Mills on a blitz right here. Now you have to be able to combo coverage with those other remaining defenders, and Nathan Gary gets caught up in the wash, and he's too late to get to Tyler Higbee.
Nate or Nathan, which one are you going by these days?
White Snake.
All right, thanks, White Snake. Eagles make it 7-3, but the Rams right back down the field. This time, Goff gets help from that rookie out of Florida, the Gator. Van Jefferson makes a great sliding catch for 21 yards. A big chunk play because the Eagles receivers, I see it all the time, the great sliding catches they make.
What?
Up in motion. Off play action. Goff going up top to the sideline. Sliding attempt by Van Jefferson. Pulls it in at the four. It's first and goal.
Good field awareness by Van Jefferson. Beautiful. Getting that knee down. Hip down. Well done.
That's right. Has Arsenio Whiteside made it play like that?
No.
Nah. Nah.
He's still under his mom's umbrella on the sideline of practice. A
few plays later, Rams on the goal line again. They're creative this time. An end around to Robert Woods.
End around to Woods, and Robert Woods will walk in for the touchdown. Rams wide receivers led the league with 30 carries a year ago. Their second carry this year. Put six on the board.
How about coaches getting in zones and being able to run this play knowing that they're a big man-to-man team?
Yeah. Yeah. Good play. Good play call by Sean McVay, but you think you don't like him.
Nah. He's a bum.
Eagles go three and out, and then Rams back down the field inside the five. Goff back to Higbee.
Goff. Throwing. Higbee with the catch, leading for the goal line touchdown. Tyler Higbee, his second of the afternoon.
Higbee's just going to release right to the flat. Mikel Roby Coleman is going to be out there, excuse me, the other way, but his eyes got caught a little bit inside and he was fooling around with another inside receiver.
And the boos came out. Oh, they're the robot boos. The bot boos. From Fox. Remember the second round draft pick? That quarterback named Jalen? Well, he was on the field for two plays on Sunday. Here is one of them. The fake to Hurts and the throw to Goddard for 10.
Hurts will take the snap here on first down. Rather, Wentz takes the snap. Hurts off to his side and Wentz over the middle. And they use Hurts as a decoy. We saw this in the red zone at practice on Friday, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. No and no. Isn't that what Doug said?
Yes.
Did the front office force you to play, Jalen? No and no. Give the Eagles, well, by the way, they get to the goal line. And give Carson some credit because, you know, I'll sneak it for you.
And Wentz will sneak and Wentz into the end zone for the touchdown.
It's a nice job by Kelce. Kelce right here. He's going to end up back here. But Carson with that big 6'5" body and that strength. See, Kelce? He got enough penetration.
Give the Eagles O-line credit after allowing 8 sacks in week one. They didn't allow a single sack in week two. The only sack in the game, in fact, came right here. Brandon Graham. It's a big third down late in the second quarter. BG. Hungry.
We'll listen for the from the offensive lineman. Nope, it's quiet. It's a pass. Goff in trouble, and Goff goes down. The sack for Brandon Graham. Welcome back to the lineup. For Brandon Graham, the 11th-year man out of Michigan, had a concussion last week.
It's assist from Fletcher Cox right here. Brandon Graham, he's going to come here, take up defenders, leaving a free path for Brandon Graham.
All right, Eagles do nothing on offense after forcing the Rams to punt, but the break came that they needed. Cooper Kupp stripped, fumble, recovery.
They've got 1:01 and 2 timeouts to work with. As Cameron Johnson will punt it to Cooper Kupp. Easter punt. Kupp fields it at the four. Cooper Kupp. Ball's out, fumbles the football, scooped up at the 11-yard line. Eagles have it at the 11. Bradley was down there.
It's ball security, right? TJ comes in and puts that helmet with a good wrap and strips the ball out of there.
Two plays later, Miles Sanders crashes into the end zone.
And on second down, it's Sanders again. Sanders into the end zone for an Eagle touchdown.
Watch this job by Lane Johnson, which allows the double team to get up to the linebacker. That's why nobody touched Miles Sanders. You see that little swinging of the hips by Lane Johnson? That's so good. Now, it goes back to where you don't have to be a devastating blocker to be an effective blocker.
That was a great block by Lane Johnson. Quick, I mean, the athleticism to angle in from the right tackle spot and seal off the block was great athleticism from Lane Johnson. All right, so down 21 to 17. All right, like, you know, I remember thinking, you know, they got life now. They got momentum. Rams start the second half. They go 3 and out. Now they're starting to feel good. And the Eagles are motoring down the field. It's first down in Rams territory. And this is the play that has us all messed up.
Once down 21-3 in this game. Wentz off play action looking for the end zone, and it's intercepted. Darius Williams with a diving pick in front of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The turnover in the end zone, and what a pick for Darius Williams to turn the Eagles away.
Ah, horrible. Horridge.
Wasn't even that great of a pick, to be honest.
No, it was horrible. It was just a horrible play. And that changed it all. Now the Rams go right down the field. 40-yard run by Darrell Henderson chugging.
Henderson on first down. Big hole. And Henderson into the secondary. And Henderson into the clear. Chased down from behind by Darius Slay. And the ball out, but down at the 35-yard line.
Job again about this wall. We've talked about it all day. And Henderson seeing that little hole right there, just enough. And who's getting a big block? Higbee. Not only does he catch passes, he cuts off McLeod.
Yeah, speaking of Higbee, how about number three?
Second down after the penalty, play action. Goff with time. Goff with Higbee open in the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Number three today, Tyler Higbee.
Nathan Gary's going to get caught up right here with Higbee. And it's just a throwback. And we talk, everything's off the same look, right? This is a throwback bootleg. Nathan Gary was caught.
White Snake.
I'm waiting for the song.
White Snake.
That would be three. Then, to make things worse, Eagles turn it over on downs, and Darrell Henderson running amok.
First and goal at the two. Henderson with the carry, fighting for the goal line, and he's in for the touchdown. And the Rams have likely just salted away a 2-0 start with a win on the road.
And, yeah, that's a touchdown to me. You know who they used as a used block or a lead blocker there? About number 17, Robert Woods. I don't know if I would use Robert in that role, but that's part of playing wide receiver for the Rams.
Yeah, thanks, dude. One more play, you might as well play it. The second pick by Carson.
Their first 0-2 start under head coach Doug Peterson. Wentz flushed, sidearm toss, and that one almost intercepted, or is it picked off? They're going to call it an interception by Troy Hill, diving for it at the 41-yard line, and the Rams have the football.
This is body across the field. Usually bad things happen when you do that.
Thanks, Cougs. Here it is, the playback. The disaster is, I don't know what I learned other than they were completely, Schwartz was right. Like, they just got pasted.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.